Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut, Tuesday, April 5th edition of the program. Elon Musk is joining Twitter's board with all the censorship controversies swirling around that platform. We'll discuss what this means. Oh, the left, the woke libs are going to be so upset about it, which is, of course, amazing. That alone makes it all worthwhile. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson will get at least 3 Republican votes. That's what we're being told right now, and her move to be the first black woman on the Supreme Court. She's going to get some Republican votes. I'll tell you who they are and my sense of why they're voting for this Supreme Court nominee. Eric Adams fires a New York City lawyer mom on maternity leave because she pushed back on the masking of toddlers situation. We'll discuss that. And we have much more coming your way, too. Oh, and also some thoughts on the atrocities in Bucha in Ukraine. The Russians rampaged through and committed war crimes, and now the world asks, what are we going to do about it? And I'll give you my sense of what the answer to that question is. Let's talk about Dunfee Real Estate for a moment here. Dunfee Real Estate is a great company. If you've never been a real estate investor before, you need to listen up, because real estate investing has done so well for so many people. It's a good way to build wealth and stability, free cash flow, build up equity over time, especially when you're thinking about how you can save for retirement and make some gains along the way. Stock market can be very volatile. Good real estate investments over time are a sound practice, my friends. And Dunfee Real Estate will take you through every step of it. So they will sit down with you. They'll tell you about the different cities you can invest in. And then you basically get set up with a real estate agent. And from there, they'll actually help you get the house, the loan, everything set up, even set you up with a management company. You get a tenant in place, free cash flow coming to you every month. You're building equity over time. And you are also making sure that you are preparing for an uncertain future. So go to doneforyoubuck.com. That's doneforyoubuck.com to start your real estate investment journey today. Doneforyoubuck.com. Now, Elon Musk, about to be on the board of Twitter, is Fantastic. The largest individual shareholder, he has a 9% stake in the company and has indicated, people are saying, that he will take on the woke status quo. I got to give Tucker credit. I hadn't seen this description before, or rather, I hadn't seen this clip before where Elon describes what is wokeness. I mean, what is actually wokeness all about? And sure enough, he says that it's a gives an armor of false virtue to people who want to attack others because they're cruel and vindictive. And that is really at the heart of wokeness. Nasty, vicious people who want to lash out and be vicious, but feel like they're a good person actually for what they're doing. That is the heart of wokeness. That is the heart of the leftist ideology in this country. That's what we're actually going through. That's why there are so many people who run around wanting to cancel everybody. Cancel a 14-year-old for what they said 20 years ago. But cancel anybody and everybody who doesn't go along with the woke dogma. Right? That's the way that they approach it. Elon recognizes that this is destructive to civilization. This isn't a minor thing. When you change the culture of this country in such a way that there is a constantly shifting and deeply malleable consensus that if you fall on the wrong side of, you're supposed to be ruined, and the people who ruin you do so with glee, with viciousness. This is what the Democrat Party does. This is what the left has become. It's disgusting. That is dangerous. That is damaging to the very fabric of this nation. It pulls us apart. It separates us. It makes this an unpleasant place to be. That's just the truth. It makes this not the country that we thought we were living in before. And if you could have free speech, at least we could address this. But when big tech decides to censor on behalf of the people that want to push this madness, then we've got even bigger problems. Well, it looks like that may be coming to an end. I will never forgive Twitter, the people in charge of Twitter. I'll never forgive big tech for the censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop story right before the election. Joe Biden probably loses the election if they don't do that. I mean, the media won't tell you that, but it's true. What they did is disgraceful. I will not forgive them for their constant harassment of me for just tweeting out true statements about masking. Mask policy has never worked anywhere to flatten the curve, to bring down cases. It has never worked anywhere in 2 years. Those are the facts. They can say, oh, but we have this one study that nobody actually knows about, that no one paid attention to. Then you look at the study, you find out, oh, no, that one's bull crap, too. It's pathetic. But big tech doesn't want to admit this because the people that are making these decisions, they think they are smarter than they are, and they think they're more virtuous than they are. So we have to keep all of this in mind going forward, right? Big tech has allowed for a hacking of the national political conversation to occur, and enough is enough. Will Donald Trump get back on Twitter? I mean, think about this. They kicked Donald Trump off of Twitter. Will he get back on Twitter and run again for president? And think about that. You think Joe Biden is going to be able to be effective on Twitter the way Trump is? No, not at all. Not at all. This is massive. This is massive. Also, I'm just going to tell you this. And if you don't, I know for very, very few of you, you actually spend a lot of time on Twitter. People listening to this, my team, I know you don't spend a lot of time on Twitter, but there is so much that goes on in the world of media and commentary behind the scenes at Twitter that's meant to elevate leftists and suppress conservatives. It happens all the time. There's shadow banning. This is all real. All of a sudden you're a conservative and you'll go 2 or 3 months. No engagement. People say, oh, maybe write better tweets. People are morons because you look at the month before, your engagement's through the roof because you're just actually able to reach your audience. They'll just cut you off. Facebook does this too, by the way. Facebook will just decide you don't get to have reach anymore. So you can't, you think you have an audience you can be in contact with, but they'll decide, nope, sorry. Are you violated our terms of service by being a meanie. Do you think they do that to the left? No. So this has massive implications for the national political conversation. This has massive implications for the midterm election, actually. because the truth can get out. We have a town square. We could use it. The truth could get out. The people could see it. If only the woke libs weren't able to put their hand on the scale for their propaganda, for their lies, for their suppression. There's all this stuff only goes one way. This has been used as a weapon against the right. That is what has happened. Elon may finally be the guy who stops this. I'll say I went on a Twitter tear in June of 2020 and Rush read the whole thing on air. And it was just a call to arms, so to speak, for conservative billionaires like Elon, or even just pro-liberty, pro-freedom, pro-America billionaires. You guys got to step in. You got all this money, okay? You know, the Koch brothers and you know, Elon and some of these people. And Elon's not a dogmatic conservative, not by any stretch, but he does understand rational thought. He does understand basic freedom and discourse and inquiry. And all these billionaires are saying, oh, I don't want, you know, I just, what, you're going to hang out all day and, you know, go from Vail to Palm Beach to Nantucket and watch the country crumble around you? The country's been very good to the conservative billionaires. It's time for some of them to step up and try to help save the country. Right? And Elon is doing that, it seems. That's exactly what I said. Rush read every word of a long tweet thread that I had on air about the unsinkable aircraft carrier of free speech that we need. That could be where Twitter is heading. Now, we'll see. We'll see what Elon does. We'll see what he's able to accomplish. But they know he could buy out all of it. I mean, he could just buy all of Twitter's outstanding shares, basically. I mean, it's a drop in the bucket for him. So he could do that. I think he should do that. And then actually put people in place who are going to, yeah, of course, you can't do criminal stuff on Twitter. You can't be using Twitter as a you know, open-air drug forum, basically, or a digital drug forum, right, to sell fentanyl all over the country. There's criminal law that still applies. But masks don't work is a fact, is true, and the fact that it is suppressed by Spotify, by Twitter, by Facebook is appalling, because the people making those decisions are woke morons who think they are much smarter than they are, and they are hurting the country with their censorship. So, Elon, God bless. This would be a huge, huge move in the right direction. And I really hope he takes this all the way. Friends, this could change the trajectory of the election. This one thing, I understand a lot of you aren't on Twitter, but just the way that it influences the national political conversation and is a place where people can get information out there. I hope my friend Alex Berenson gets back on Twitter, too. I think he will. It will change the trajectory of the country over the next few years in a good way if he does this. This is really meaningful. I'm going to talk to you in a second here about Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson getting through. Some Republicans voted for, are going to vote for her, said they will vote for her. We will discuss that in just a moment. Want to set yourself up for a good day ahead when you get started in the morning? You got to hook yourself up with Tommy John. I'm wearing a Tommy John hoodie right now as I talk to you. This is the most comfortable stuff I own. I've got 3 Tommy John hoodies at home. I'm basically just cycling through them. If you watch the video of this show, we've got it up on YouTube and Rumble, you'll see I'm wearing Tommy John hoodies more often than not just because they're so comfortable. And I can do what I need to do and get through the day knowing that I've got extra stretch fabric. It feels so good. The most comfortable, most well-made stuff on the market is from Tommy John, with dozens of comfort innovations. I'm telling you, once you've tried Tommy John, you're never going to go back. They've got the fabric feeling rich with 4 times the stretch of competing brands, and it contains a moisture wicking element too, so it keeps you cool. They've sold over 17 million pairs of underwear, for example. So you know that men across America love their Tommy John, but they've got women's gear too. Everything is backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/buck. Go to TommyJohn.com/buck for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/buck, 20% off. See site for details. Now, we have Ketanji Brown Jackson about to, KBJ, I believe is how she's going to continue. She will be, if she's not already by most, referred to in something of an homage to RBG and the really a cult of personality that was created around that Supreme Court justice. May she rest in peace. But here we have Ketanji Brown Jackson going to be a Supreme Court justice. And you look at which Republicans have decided that they will vote in favor of her. Well, we knew. I told you, I think I said it was going to be three or four. I have to go back and check. But Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Mitt Romney of Utah have all joined Democrats to say that they will vote for Ketanji Brown Jackson. So she's getting a handful of Republican votes. It's going to be 53-47. Now, if we were operating under the previous perception of Supreme Court nominations, which was if someone's qualified, they get through. I have no doubt about Ketanji Brown Jackson's qualifications, her resume. I don't think anybody has really attacked those. She's got a very strong resume, very strong credentials, right? I live in reality world. The libs, the left, they can live in some other fantasy place. I see things and say, all right, this person who's been on the she's been on the D.C. circuit. She went to Harvard Law School or Yale Law School, one of the two. And, you know, is somebody who has done what is necessary to prove a resume, at least, that is worthy of elevation to the Supreme Court, right? Has the background and experience. In terms of judicial decision-making and ideology, she's going to be a left-wing activist. And I wish that wasn't the case. So I wouldn't vote in favor of Ketanji Brown Jackson just because I know that based on her previous decisions and based on the way that the left is already completely enamored with the prospect of her being on the bench, she will be an activist. She'll essentially go there and give the left whatever it wants, kind of like a Sotomayor. Kagan, a little less so. But, I mean, Sotomayor, it's as though you have a justice who is created by the comments section of Salon.com and The Nation magazine. I mean, that and those are the judicial opinions you get from Sotomayor. I mean, a far left-wing radical. And that's not in line with the Constitution. This living Constitution nonsense is absurd. So I disagree with this notion that that Republicans should all just go along with it. But, you know, Mitt Romney in particular, I get it with Murkowski and Collins. Collins, you know, she's worried about being able to keep her seat. So it's just pure political calculation. But for Mitt Romney, this is a virtue signaling opportunity for him. You know, just like when he was marching with the BLM protesters. There is a specific psychological disorder that some Republicans have where they are desperate for a pat on the head from their ideological and political opponents. Just the most meager pat on the head is something that makes them feel good. Oh, the New York Times said you're not one of the really bad, you know, right-wing insurrectionist Republicans. Oh, that feels so good. Mitt Romney is one who needs that. Which makes, you know, it's not, I shouldn't say makes sense. It's not surprising. This is a guy who was governor of Massachusetts. I mean, you look at this now and you can kind of see that he's maneuvered however he's had to at different times. He was the Republican nominee. I did vote for him. It's kind of embarrassing to say out loud, but it was him or Obama. And that Obama did a bad job as president for 4 years and then did a bad job for the next 4 years. So I don't think it was the wrong move, but it just gives you a sense of where the GOP has been in the past. You know, notice how you don't get these moderate Democrats who win their party's nomination the same way, because even if they present as a moderate like Joe Biden, oh, I'm a moderate. Hey, here I am, moderate. You know, yeah, no joke. Sure. Yeah. Here I am with things and the stuff. They do whatever the woke left wants them to once they're in power. So they just roll over, basically, and say, okay, yeah, sure. What do we need? We're going to destroy the gender binary? Sounds great. Sign Joe Biden up. Joe Biden is now a huge trans agenda for children advocate. Who could have seen that coming? Well, those of us who told you that he was essentially a Trojan horse, we saw it coming. Not the specifics, necessarily, but this attitude, this mentality around it. So that is not a surprise to us. Senator Ted Cruz sees this reality of the Ketanji Brown Jackson elevation to the Supreme Court, I think, the way that it is, which is that you're now going to have a far left radical sitting on the Supreme Court.
Not a single Republican senator asked her about her high school yearbook, engaged in the kind of personal slanders that Democrats have made a business about. If the questions were hard, it is because her record is at the extreme. There have been 115 men and women who have served on the Supreme Court. If Judge Jackson is confirmed, I believe she will prove to be the most extreme and the furthest left justice ever to serve on the United States Supreme Court.
I think he's right. I think he's right. So this is the world we live in now, where the Supreme Court is a political tool and everybody understands that this is a partisan fight. We used to be told, oh, no, the Supreme Court is not partisan. Yeah, it is. It actually is. It's partisan. That's a real thing. And so now we see this. We understand what's going on. And some Republicans going forward with this vote. I mean, Mitt Romney is the one that's just so classic. I mean, Mitt Romney, anything so that the fancy cocktail party sets like, oh, Mitt's not so bad, I guess. Until they need to crush him on something else, then they will. And it will say, I thought you liked me. It's pathetic. But you see a lot of that going on. So, yes, Biden will get a radical justice on the court soon. That is what we're going to see. I just want to point out that there was a moment here where someone spoke out. Daniela Jampel confronted Eric Adams at a press conference. The press conference was about Florida's Don't Say Gay Bill. I live in New York City. I know the city super well. I even spent a little time working at the NYPD. So I've got a good grasp of this town and what goes on here. And this city is hurting still. It's not back to where it was. There's a lot of people still walking around. People in the gym. I was in the gym today. People walking around with masks. Not a lot, but five or six working out. Still a lot of lunacy around Fauciism here. Dirty streets. A lot of trash everywhere. High crime rate, a lot of places closed down, haven't come back. I mean, there's problems here. But Mayor Eric, and masking up toddlers, of course, because that's going to keep anybody safe. Ordered to mask up your toddler. Three-year-olds, four-year-olds, it's disgusting. Mayor Adams wants to hold press conferences, though, on the Don't Say Gay Bill, because much more fun to do some virtue signaling nonsense than to actually address the real problems of a place like New York City. Florida's bill has nothing to do with New York, and it obviously doesn't say you can't say gay. It's the Parental Rights and Education Bill. But it's just a distraction, and it's because Mayor Adams, kind of like the way Mitt Romney wants a high five from the New York Times, Mayor Adams wants the woke left to say, yeah, he's great. Well, this attorney for New York City's law department has been fired because she snuck into a press conference and asked Adams a question about the masking of kids. She said, 3 weeks ago, you told parents to trust that you would unmask our toddlers. You stood right there and you said the mask would come off April 4th. That has not happened. Not only did you renege on your promise, you had your lawyers race to court on Friday night arguing there'd be irreparable harm if children under five are allowed to take off their masks today with their older siblings in school. So my questions are, what is the irreparable harm to children aged 2 to 4 to take off their masks? Just as they do in Long Island, just as they do in Westchester, when will you unmask our toddlers? It's just a power play, folks. Psychotic child abuse and a power play. This woman's totally correct. Adam's a liar. He's a liar. He lied. Yeah, because the woke left was, we have to keep the kids safe. Because the woke left is hysterical. What about if you don't have the masks? So scared all the time. It's disgusting. So Adams is wrong. That's what they sound like. Team here is saying, is that really how, that is how the woke left sounds, by the way. That is their true voice. And I'm just saying, this woman, by the way, she's a huge lib, I'm sure. She works for the New York City Law Department. She probably voted for Bernie. I mean, she's probably, but she realizes this is stupid beyond words. Why are the kids being masked up? Why are only toddlers, not even all children, just only toddlers? What you're discriminating against 2 to 5 year olds based on what? Oh, they just can't let it go. They can't let it go. They got to keep their masks on somebody just in case they want to turn it up again, you see. They got to leave them on someone so we don't get too complacent. Where's the Fauci? Now is not the time to roll back restrictions in perhaps 2 or 5 or 15 years. There may come a better moment for the rollback. Worst person, most destructive person in America. More misery, death, despair as a result of Fauci's pronouncements and megalomania than any other human in the United States. Just saying, it's true. So, yeah, Adams is a liar and can't fix the city and does not seem like he knows what the hell he's doing. That's the reality of New York's new mayor, America's biggest city. And then just some brief thoughts on Bucha. The atrocities committed in Ukraine are the stuff of nightmares, and the Russian war machine is vile. And there is the Russians do not fight with the Geneva Convention or honor in mind as a country. That they just don't. Look at Syria. Look at Afghanistan. Look at they just don't. This is the truth. People can say, "Oh, Buck, but what if this is?" No, it's not propaganda. This is how the Russians fight, with viciousness and depravity. I'm not saying all Russian people, but this is what the Russian military does. If people knew the extent of the way that they helped keep the Assad regime even in power, I mean, the indiscriminate bombing of Aleppo, I mean, the stuff that they're willing to do, they just don't care. So now we have this moment where the international community, they hear from Zelensky this morning at through teleconference, obviously, but he speaks to the UN Security Council. And what's going on is horrible. And people are calling for war crimes investigations. They're calling for tribunals. And I understand that. And that would be justice. Do we actually think that we will ever get to a point where that will happen? Unless someone is willing to stare down with military force Russia, unless a major power like the United States, like NATO, is willing to say, you're going to hand over top generals, you're going to hand over Putin, or else, and the or else has to be serious, we have to deal with the very real possibility here that they will never face justice, and that they will largely get away with these atrocities, the kind of thing that we haven't really seen, certainly in Europe, since World War II on this scale. People would say some of what happened in the Balkans is similar. So we have to look at this and understand what is possible and what is not. As long as Russia has thousands of nuclear weapons and we are concerned that the Russians would actually use them, there are limitations to what we are going to do. And that doesn't feel good to think about and to be honest with ourselves about. But I do think that is where we are. We are giving the Ukrainians weapons. We are trying to help them. But it is a fight of Ukrainians against Russians right now. And war is hell and ugly and disgusting. And that's what we're seeing. And I know there's an emotional impulse for people to say we must do more. I wish we could. But understand that more, for it to really be meaningful, is we have Americans killing Russians. American soldiers, American airmen killing Russians, open combat. That would stop things in Ukraine, I think, pretty quickly, until then Russia decided to make their next move. Would Russia back off? Would Russia fire nukes? That's the fundamental question. Tactical nuke at U.S. bases in Eastern Europe, for example. How do we respond to that? Gets into a nightmare situation very quickly. So we'll continue to follow this and watch this. And thoughts and prayers to the Ukrainian people who are going through a terrible time, and to the bravery of those Ukrainian fighters who are facing a Russian enemy that gives no quarter, obeys no rules of not just warfare, but basic humanity. And we shall continue to supply them, give them the tools that they need to at least bring this to a conclusion. Thanks for being with me here on the Buck Sexton Show. I will talk to you tomorrow. Shields high. Born on America's darkest day of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays the mortgage on the family home to lift the financial burden. For severely injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling severely injured heroes to move around their homes more independently. Through the Foundation's Homeless Veteran Program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless veterans. More than 3,300 were helped last year alone. Because all veterans who honorably served, whether in peacetime or war, deserve our nation's gratitude. People who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities need your help now more than ever. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices of this country's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
to the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.